God, we thank you for the Bible. And we thank you that even though it was written so long ago, it contains so much truth, so much that is still of relevance to us today. So as we look at this passage, would you speak to us again today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So every Sunday when we gather, we have a talk and chance to think about the Bible reading for this week and what it means to us and how we put that into practice in our lives. All the way through the summer, we're looking at unsung heroes in the Bible. So people that we've probably never heard of who did amazing things. And we had a service earlier on at 9:30. John did the talk then, and he had a really tough brief. I gave him the passages, and it was basically two verses with completely random names of people that no one had ever heard of. And he did a great job of talking about how God used them and how they were unsung heroes. And we're looking at that all the way through the rest of the summer until the school term starts again. And that's one of the things that I love about our church here at St. Barnabas, is that this church is full of people like that, the unsung heroes, people that are doing amazing things in our community, using their lives to make a difference at home, at work, in their schools, all that kind of stuff. People quietly getting on with changing other people's lives. Those who've chosen to adopt or foster, the older members of our congregation who are faithfully caring for maybe their husband or wife day in, day out because of illness. Lots of other examples that I'm sure we can all think of. And the thing that makes these people inspiring to me is not just what they do, but actually the way that they do it. So, yes, they might find it hard, and I'm sure they have their bad days when they wish that they could give up, when they wish that things were easier. But mostly, they make it look natural. They make it look like there's nothing else in the world they'd rather be doing with the life that they've been given. And so often, they're kept going in this way because of love. They're caught up in something bigger than themselves, the love of those that they're serving. Now, other people can do amazing things and be heroes even, but for all sorts of other reasons. And let's be honest, for reasons that aren't as good as the selfless love that is displayed by these unsung heroes. And it doesn't mean that their successes aren't impressive. It's just not, they're not necessarily the kind of lives that we'd want to live, the kind of lives that we'd want to copy or emulate or live up to. So you've got the kind of, you know, the big egos, your Richard Branson, your Elon Musk, you know, sending cars into space, all this sort of stuff, you know, about the ego, about making themselves look impressive. You've got, you know, thousands upon thousands of singers and actors and footballers and so on and so on that have achieved amazing things. But how many of them are driven by trying to escape a loneliness that they feel inside, or to prove that they're somebody, or to get back at those school bullies who made their life miserable when they were younger, or to prove something to their parents who never thought they were good enough? It's easy, isn't it, to be driven by fear and by insecurity. And for me, that's why the story of Jesus' baptism that Kim's just read to us from the Bible is so important. It stands out, and because it's a story that happens right at the beginning of Jesus' life. So we get these four accounts that are packed full of things that Jesus says and does, amazing miracles that he performs in the name of God. But actually, any of those things that you can think of Jesus doing, any of the stories you might know of what Jesus did, apart from being born and getting lost in the city, all those stories come after this story that Kim's just read to us from the Bible. At this point in his life, Jesus has not healed one leper. He's not told one good story yet. And he's got no disciples. He's got no one following along. And yet, as he's baptized, as he goes down into the water, and we've got the water here that we use to baptize George, and John the Baptist was in the river, and so Jesus walked down from the bank into the river, got soaking wet, and was dunked under the water by John the Baptist. And as he did that, we hear the voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased." Before he's done anything, before he's achieved anything, God is there saying, "You're my child. I'm pleased with you. You are loved." And in everything that Jesus would go on to do, he has the assurance of God's deep love, of how pleased God is with him, and that calling that God has placed on his life. And to be loved like that is a powerful thing. And through the baptism this morning, this is what God is saying to George too. "George, you are my child. I'm pleased with you. You're loved." And the Bible says that we all have the opportunity to choose to be in Christ, to be in Jesus, alongside Jesus. So that everything that God says here of Jesus in this Bible passage is true of us too, and can be true of us too, when we're in Christ. "You're my child. I'm pleased with you." To have the very one who made you, the being that created the universe and continues to sustain the world turning minute after minute, to have that person thinking that about you, that they're pleased with you. And whatever life brings for George over the coming years, nothing will take that away or change that, the way that God sees him. And whatever others think about us, the mistakes that we make, the ways in which we get a bit lost, God speaking over us will continue to be the most true thing about us, will continue to be the most true thing about George. More true than anything anyone could ever say to George, than anything anyone could ever say to us. "You are loved. You are God's child. God is pleased with you." And this is the kind of security that means that we can all be one of those unsung heroes. Maybe even the kind of hero that gets into the limelight. And I was thinking about this with George. You know, his namesakes, he's got a patron saint and a prince as his namesake. So, you know, maybe he's going to be in the limelight too. We don't know, do we? But our prayer for him today is that George will never be driven by fear or by trying to prove something, but instead that everything that he does in the years as he grows up will come out of this deep security of being loved. Of course, loved by his parents, by his wonderful family, by the friends that are here to support him today. But also knowing that he's loved and loved deeply by God. The kind of love that's not conditional, that you can't earn, that you can't mess up. And that's the kind of love that God has for each one of us here today. And it can be hard to get our heads around it, can't it? And maybe it's something you've heard before, maybe you've heard it lots of times. And the danger is that then such a profound statement can begin to sound like kind of cheesy or throwaway. "Oh, God loves you." You know, it can just become so throwaway. But the freedom of no longer living life trying to prove something, trying to earn your place here, or trying to make someone love you is an amazing thing. And that's the offer that comes with the belief that God loves us. And it's not just the freedom to waltz around thinking how nice and cozy it is to be loved, is it? Like Jesus, when we know how surrounded and held we are in each moment by the love of God, we can go on to live the life that changes the world around us for the better. A life of seeing and treating the people around us differently. Living as everyday unsung heroes. We can be the people that we were always made to be, loved children of God. Amen.